Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, we can do better than that. Praise the Lord. I know your soul has been blessed and refreshed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're thanking God already. Never let a day go by where we won't praise the Lord. I know you have magnified the name of the Lord thus far today. And I know already you have been blessed of the Lord. The Lord has blessed you. He has kept you. And I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. This is the day that we have come aside and set aside this day for a special opportunity where we can have our first communion of 2026. Now, I don't know about you, but God brought us through 2025 and you made it. The smoke cleared and you're still here. I don't know what ups or downs you experience, but in spite of it all, you are still here and you ought to magnify the name of the Lord for that alone. You ought to thank him and bless him. Because if it had not been for his goodness or grace, where would we be? And so I thank God today that we have these moments where we can come aside and praise and pray. I thank the praise team. I want to thank our wonderful band. God bless you, my brothers. Thank you again to the praise team and to all those who contributed to this service thus far. And I'm just glad you, as the members and visitors who are here and those who are watching online, we just want to encourage you in the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we get into the word of God in preparation for taking the emblems. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you have already spoken in song. Lord, we've already been encouraged to know that weeping may endure for the night, but our joy is coming. You have reminded us today that we can worship you because you are the true God. There's none like you or none beside you. You are the awesome God of the universe. You are creator and sustainer and provider. Lord, we magnify your name because without you, nothing can happen. And so today, in these moments we have together, as we lift up your word, we pray for the Holy Spirit to come near us, open our hearts, open our minds, that as we look at truth and as we hear from your word and as we understand the times in which we are living, and that all you are trying to do is prepare a people for your coming. And we thank you in advance for doing this. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's even now in this place. And we give you the glory and the honor. Now bless us in these few moments we have together to lift up your word, speak to our hearts, encourage our minds, and bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to read in Matthew chapter 24 as our base text. I'm not going to be long. This is our communion Sabbath. However, I want to encourage you in the Lord. We did go through a two-week fast in prayer, and it's nothing like being drawn closer to God. Ellen White says, once we come to know God as it is our privilege to know him, then our life will be a life of continual obedience. If they had known who Christ was, the Bible says, they would have never crucified him. And I believe today, if we have a better knowledge of God, it will help us to adjust, and it will help us to recalibrate. It will help us to fall in alignment with him, because all he wants to do is bless us and not hurt us. He says, above all things, I want you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. But Matthew 24 is a Bible that's a text talking about the signs of the last days. And I must declare, brothers and sisters, we are living in the last days. Jesus is soon to come. He's even at the door. And I'm glad right now you are preparing yourself. You are making the necessary adjustments so that you might come to know him in a way that when he comes back, he'll recognize you, because the Bible says in that day, many will say, didn't I do this in your name and do that in your name? And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you, but I want to know God. I want to come to know him and his power. And therefore, Matthew 24, verse 8 says this, and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. From the New King James Version, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. In other words, what we're seeing now in the different cities that's taking place, these are the beginning of sorrows. the Bible prophesied and predicted that these things would happen. And now you and I are actually living in real time as we look at the news and the television, as we listen to what's happening in our world. It is a reflection, a prophetic move of God that we are living in the last days. And Jesus Christ is even at the door. In other words, we ought to rejoice. We ought to be glad, because as we see these things happening, he's even coming closer and closer, and he's even at the door. The Bible says this: when Jesus was talking to his disciples, all these things are the beginning of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up in tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. We see all this happening right now. The word of God says, and because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. But then it says in verse 13, which is our launching pad, the good news is this: all of this will happen. All of this will take place. But the word of God says in verse 13, but there's a conjunction which suggests it erases everything that came before and it introduces a new thought. It says, but he or she who endures until the end shall be saved. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to be saved. Amen. I don't want to go through hell and then go to hell. I want to be saved. The word of God reminds us you got to endure. You got to hold on. You got to fight the fight of faith. You got to fight the fight as a good soldier, and you got to keep your eyes stayed on Jesus so that you might receive your reward. But today, I am convinced that the reward that we're talking about is in the process. I want to remind us today, right now, just for a little bit, I want to remind us that what we're going through is part of the par for the course. What we're going through is part of our spiritual and Christian development. I don't know. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to use you. He wants to be able to lift you up so that you might be a witness and magnify the name of Jesus. And today, I want to use four Bible texts to illustrate that the reward is in the process. In other words, we live in a world that's driven by results. I want to see something happen, and I want to see it happen now. Remember when you first joined the church, you thought after a while you might sprout wings and be translated and float off to glory, but it didn't happen, and you were left on this dismal, dark, ugly world, and you have to go through heartache and hardship and pain and ups and downs. I don't know. I remember when they said, when you join the church, it's going to be a piece of cake. You're going to be able to walk right and talk right, and all that's true. But the Bible says all that live godly are going to suffer a little bit. And I want you to know that there's some suffering going on. I don't know what you have suffered, but I know God is able and God can carry you through. But we live in a world that wants results like yesterday. In other words, sometimes we want the blessing without the burden. We want the promise without the process. We want the crown without the cross. But God often works differently, and we've got to understand that God works differently. In other words, many believers ask, Lord, where is my reward? I'm tired. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired. I want a reward. You know, when you do something, you expect to get immediate gratification. You want something to happen right then. You want something to pop off right now. Well, God's answer is not only at the end. He says it's not only at the end, but your reward is really in the process. In other words, sometimes we're looking in the wrong direction. We're looking for something to happen over here when God is saying something is happening in here. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But the problem is we're looking for a reward, and we've got to understand, we've got to stand still and see the salvation of God. See, the process that I'm talking about is not punishment. The process I'm talking about is preparation. In other words, God uses the process, number one, to develop your faith. The word of God says, without faith, you cannot please God. He that come to God must believe. And today, without faith, God says, you cannot please me. So in other words, what do I need? I need a faith that holds on to God no matter what. And I'm going through trials. I'm going through tribulation. I don't understand why. Count it all joy. I'm glad you said that. Put up the first text of scripture, James chapter 1. Verse 2 through 4. I want to read this. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. First of all, the reason why you're going through what you're going through is because God wants to develop your faith. Say that with me. God wants to do what, everybody? God wants to develop your faith. He wants you to get to a point where you're not complaining and crying and begging for a way out, but you're standing there saying, "All." In other words, is this all you got, devil? This is all you got? I'm going to stand still and I'm going to watch God move, and I know he's going to move. The Bible says it this way in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Count, my brethren, my sisterin, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, you might say, well, how can you count it all joy? Well, it's because you need to understand what the process is doing. You got to understand what the process means. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God wants you to get to the point where you're not codependent, you're not needy or greedy, but you have learned how to stand still and watch the move of God. Trials don't feel joyful. Waiting doesn't feel rewarding. Struggles don't feel productive. But God says the process is producing something that you cannot see. Whatever you're going through, whatever trial, whatever burden you carry, it may not be able, you may not feel you can, but God is giving it to you because he wants to do something in your life that cannot be done without that thing happening. I wonder why sometimes too. Why me? You ever said that? Why me? Can I ask another question? Why not you? Who should it be? The person next to you on your pew, who should it be, your neighbor? In other words, God doesn't waste trials. He doesn't waste tribulation. He doesn't waste a burden. God says the process is producing something. Everything you go through, every outcome has a purpose. Patience is formed in the process. Endurance is strengthened in the process. Maturity is shaped in the process. In other words, you don't come out strong by skipping through the process. You come out strong because you survived the process. Now think about it. Look at all you've gone through and you're still here. I hear people tell me, well, Pastor, I can't do it any longer. I feel like I've got to give up. I'm going to turn in. No. Look what you've gone through. And they give me a litany of stuff. Pastor, I went through this. Pastor, I went through this. Pastor, I went through this. Pastor, you don't understand. I went through this. And I be shouting. They say, what you shouting about? Are you glorying in my failure, in my ups and downs? No, I'm praising the Lord because you're still here. After all of that, an average person would have quit long time ago. Somebody who didn't have faith in God would have thrown in the towel. And the fact that you can give me that list of all the stuff you have gone through, and you can still lift up your hand and bless the name of Jesus, and you can still come to church and praise God in spite of all the pain you have gone through, in spite of all the loss you have suffered, in spite of all the hardship and heartache, like Paul, you have gone through hell and high water, but you are still here. In other words, if God rushed you to the reward, you wouldn't be ready to carry it. I need God to process me. I need God to do something in my life that I cannot do for myself. I need him to do that for me. In other words, the process that he uses is developing faith, a faith that will not let you get discouraged under the burden and the weight of sin. Number two, the process teaches you to trust God and not results. Notice Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. The Bible says, for you have need of what? Patience. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. In other words, God gonna do his part. God gonna give you the desires of your heart. God will bless you in due time. I love what the Bible says when it says in Psalms, the 84th division in verse 10, it says, anybody that's walking uprightly, he will withhold no good thing from them. You believe that? Now, you might say, well, I don't have a job, or I'm going through heartache. I'm going through tribulation. I'm going through pain. I don't understand why. But if you're a child of God and you're walking with God, the promise is this: He will not withhold anything good from them that walk uprightly. So if you start walking uprightly and whatever it is that's good and you don't have it, you got to believe then it's on the way. Okay, I'm going to give you a perspective. In other words, God says, I will not withhold anything good from them that just keep on walking uprightly. And how do you walk uprightly? The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree. So for me to walk uprightly, I've got to be agreeing with God. And whatever God says, I've got to put my hand on it and claim it and say, God, I believe it with all of my heart. I believe the word of God. I believe your word is true. I believe you'll do it for me. I believe you'll open up a door. I believe you'll make a way out of no way. I believe. And there's something that happened to the psyche of the mind. When you start believing like that, things will begin to happen that will blow your mind. Oftentimes in the Bible, when Jesus confronted people that had problems, it could be a physical malady, it could be whatever it was, but he would always say, thy faith hath made you whole. Why? They came expecting something from God. They came hungering for God. And the word says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. God says, you shall be feel. And they came wanting something from God. And I believe if you keep walking uprightly, if you don't have it and it's good, it's on the way. If you're walking uprightly and it's not good, then you don't need it. You're walking uprightly and you got it and it's good, you need to praise the Lord. In other words, God says, I will never ever withhold anything good from my children. The time is I've got to let God process me so that I can be ready to receive the blessing he wants me to have. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's my attitude that keeps me from being able to receive the blessing. Maybe it's my disposition or my omission or commission. I don't know what it is, but Lord, I'm missing the point. And God says this process teaches you to trust God and not the results. Hebrews 10:36 says this again: for you have need of endurance. I need endurance that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Endurance is learned before the promise is received. And God often delays the outcome to deepen your dependence upon him. See, my brothers and sisters, when doors stay closed, faith grows. Let me say that again. When doors stay closed, faith grows. When prayers take time, trust deepens. When progress feels slow, obedience becomes pure. And sometimes the greatest reward is learning how to walk with God even when nothing is changing. Being able to stay with God and walk with God and trust God, even though I don't see the breakthrough. In other words, are you able to trust God in the absence of evidence that you want to see God perform? I want to trust God. Coming to God is like believing like a child that he's able and he can and he will and he'll do it in his own time. I've got to learn how to believe that with all things, God can do it. Third thing is the process separates commitment from convenience. You see, in other words, this process I'm talking about. Notice what the word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season. In due season. I'm trying to tell you, you hold on long enough. In due season, when God says enough is enough, you see, he's not, he knows what's happening in the White House. He knows what's happening in the cities and here in America and around the world. God has not fallen asleep. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. But he says, in due season, one day, Michael's going to stand up and say, enough is enough. And he that shall come will come. And he's going to put an end to all of this madness. But you and I, what we have to learn how to do is endure like a good soldier. We got to put our hand to the plow and say, come what may, hell or high water, I'm not looking back. I'm not letting go. I'm not quitting now. I've come too far just to come this far. If I keep on trusting, if I keep on believing, God will make a way somehow. In other words, notice the wording. In other words, what God does, who, in other words, the process. Let us not grow weary. Don't get tired now. And you can do that. In other words, I'm encouraging you. You've been a Christian for many years. I don't know how many years. You almost like, Lord, where's my reward? When are you going to do it? The word of God says in Psalms, he almost became discouraged. He says, it wasn't until I went into the sanctuary that I understood that you were going to fix this thing. It wasn't until I was able to look into the word of God to know that God is in control. We should not grow weary, because in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen. Don't lose heart. I want to just tell you that. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Everyone wants a harvest. Few want the planting season. So I want it right now. This process reveals who will stay when it's hard. It's going to get rough. It's going to get hard. He said this is the beginning of sorrows. But what it's going to do, it's going to reveal who's going to stay. Who will obey when it's quiet. Who will remain faithful without applause? In other words, your consistency in the process is proof that your faith is real. Let me say that again. Not just because you got a job, not just because you got more money, not just because you don't have sickness in your body, not just because the conditions and circumstances are right. No, you are trusting God because he's worthy to be trusted. He's never lost a case, and he will never lose a case. So when I remain faithful, it reveals that your faith is powerful. If you quit now, you forfeit what perseverance was about to produce. Let me say that again. You were on the verge of a breakthrough. You were right there. And if you had just stood still and see the salvation of God, like the children of Israel who were standing before the Red Sea, they could have thrown in the towel. They could have said, I'm out. But you know what? Right when they thought it was over, Jesus, the great God of the universe, he came down and he blew on the water, and the water departed, and a way was made out of no way. All I'm suggesting is, for the people of God today, don't get weary in well doing, because in due season God gonna do it. I believe that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And again, my point is this: if you quit now, you forfeit what perseverance was about to produce. You know, in other words, God wants to give you something for what you've already gone through. So if you quit before he able to bless you, then you're going to lose out on what he wanted to do for you because of your faithfulness. I just believe that those of us who have enough faith to trust God in the midst of this, he has something special to give to those of us who trust him after all of this hell we have gone through. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you have lost relatives. Some of you have gone through pain and heartache. Some of you have experienced job loss and you've experienced pain. And God says, it's all right. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy gonna come. If you don't give up prematurely, something is going to happen in your experience. Believe me, that's just what God does. And notice Romans chapter 8, my last text of scripture. It says this, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In other words, what you're going through right now is doing so much for you and in you that it's actually preparing you for what you're going to. You cannot even imagine, you cannot even believe that what you're going through, what is actually happening in the process, is developing you. That's why the Bible says you can't even understand. In other words, this light affliction is only for a moment, and what God is going to do, he's going to process and bless us more than we can imagine. God rewards you while you are becoming. That's my last point. In other words, God is rewarding you in the process. See, many of us are waiting to get to the reward, But the reality is the reward is actually you, because something is happening in you that will give you the privilege to have what God wanted you to have. Unless he processes us, unless we go through a processing, what he wants to give us, it would be a burden and not a blessing. So God says you won't even be able to appreciate walking on streets of gold if your heart has not been changed. You will not be able to understand the blessing of opening up pearly gates if your mind has not been renovated. God says, I want to do a new thing in your life. So when we think about it, Paul says in Romans 8 verse 18, I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Notice the wording, revealed in us, not given to us. Okay, let me say that again. In other words, he says, it's not something you're going to get. It's something that you're actually becoming. And in the process of becoming, you're going to be able to look hardship straight in the face, like Paul, who was in prison, and he was able to write letters and bless somebody else because Paul went through the processing of becoming before he gave. In other words, before he could have his blessing, he had to be processed so he could become a blessing. The wording revealed in us, not given to us. The reward is not only what God gives you, it's who you become. See, that's what the blessing is. It's not the reward of what you're going to get. It's the reward of who you're going to become. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who did not walk according to the course of this world. He was blessed because he was able to allow God to do something in him and through him that meant that God was blessing him even through his suffering. The reward is not only what God gives you, it's who you become. Think about it. You're going to become stronger. You're going to become wiser. You're going to become more like Christ. Some blessings come through the process, not after the process. In other words, I want to say this. The waiting, the working, the praying, the trusting are not wasted moments. They are shaping moments. What you become, while you become, while you are pursuing the promise, is just as important as the promise itself. As you pursue it, as you press down, shaking together, running over, as you ask God to do it, God will do it. You see, the rhythm of God, God will always take care of what he said he's going to take care of. And he said, I will in no wise cast you out. I'm going to bless you and not hurt you. It's my desire to give you the desires of your heart. So you got to trust God. The process is in the reward. Notice here, your reward is in the process, the waiting, the working, the praying, the trusting are not wasted moments. God sees you. They are shaping moments. What you become while you are pursuing the promise is just as important as the promise itself. In other words, my brothers and sisters, Joseph's reward wasn't only the palace, it was the character built in the pit and the prison. David's reward wasn't just the crown, it was the faith formed while tending sheep. Even Jesus embraced the process of obedience before the joy set before him. Your reward is in the process. So I say to you today, don't rush past your process. Every step is developing patience and faith and endurance and dependence on God. And what feels slow is often sacred. And what feels hidden is often preparation. I can't see it now. Stay faithful where you are. Keep walking, keep trusting, keep obeying. The process is not delaying your reward. It is part of your reward. Don't despise the process. Let go and let God. Let him do this perfect work in your life. In other words, it will produce faith and endurance. As they play right now, I told you I'm not going to keep you long. And if I have, I apologize. But I want you to know that the reward is in the process. And the process of God is to prepare you for whatever you got to be prepared for. And we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And we do know that one day Christ will come back. And he's looking for a prepared people because he went to make a prepared place. Don't despise the process. Don't rush the season. Don't quit in the middle. What feels like the delay is actually development. What feels like struggle is shaping strength. What feels like waiting is building weight for the reward. And your reward is not just at the finish line. Your reward is in who God is forming you to be along the way. I want to be able to say one day, it was worth it all. One day when it's all said and done, you're going to be able to say, lo, this is my God. Why? Because you were processed. And because you were processed, you allow God to do that perfect work in your life. Today, we are coming to the communion table. It's January 2026. And now this is the third Sabbath. And I believe without a doubt, most of the work that God is going to do in your life, obviously, it's not at church. It's through everyday living. Trials are going to come. Hardship going to come. Ups and downs going to come. And it's going to feel like you're all by yourself. But that's the process. In other words, God is allowing things to happen with his hands on it. You know, I'm glad God has his hands on the thermostat. When the heat feels like it's rising, God knows how to turn it up and he knows how to turn it down. And whatever you're suffering through right now, remember, you have an all-wise, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutable, sovereign God of the universe who says, I care about you. I've graven you on the palms of my hand. I will never give you up. You're always on my heart. I want to declare today that if we just say, God, I want to be able to be processed. In fact, as we prepare to close, I would like for you to just repeat after me this word right here. I will not quit the process. I want to say that again one more time. I will not quit the process. I will trust God in the waiting. I believe my obedience is not in vain. My reward is in the process. And the promise is on the way. I believe that. They saying that. They saying that today earlier. They saying that. Weeping may endure, but the joy gonna come. I don't know what your circumstance is. And as our faces differ, so does our situations. But again, I just believe God is on your side. And he said it. He prophesied. He said it's not just today, not just tomorrow, not just this week, not just this month, not just this year. But God wants to prosper you the rest of your life. He wants to shower you with blessings. And yes, trouble come, trials come, because we got to be processed. And he's processing us because he says, one day I want to be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He want to look at each of us. And so I declare again, let's say it one more time. Let's say it one more time. Let's say it like we believe it. I will not quit the process. I will trust God in the waiting. I believe my obedience is not in vain. My reward is in the process. And my promise is on the way. I believe that today by the grace of God. And I believe that God wants to bless you. And it starts with you simply making a response to his grace. In other words, he says, those of us who are willing and obedient, we're going to eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient. That's all he wants. That's all he needs. Willing and obedience. That's all God wants, willing and obedience. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. Just be willing. And today he extends to you and me the invitation. Now we want to invite those who are here today as we partake of the communion. You, member, visitor, yes, it doesn't matter. The table is to welcome God's people, whoever you are. And wherever you are in your experience, in your journey with God, he wants to restore unto you the joy of salvation. God wants to give you a new beginning. God wants you to understand that your reward is in the process. And part of that process is walking by faith. When you take these emblems today, that's part of the process. He says, do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. And when we come to the Lord's Supper, we're saying, God, I trust you. Just like they had to take the blood and put it on the doorpost for the Passover, they were saying, I trust you. And the Bible said they ate bitter herbs, and they went through all of that as a process. They followed God's process. And for the New Testament believer, if we want deliverance and we want the death angel to pass our house, pass over our house, and we want God to deliver us, then we've got to follow the process. And the process involves obeying God. Whatever he says, thus saith the Lord. Whatever he says. That's why I say, I'm glad you're here today. The first communion of the new year. I'm willing, Lord. And I want to walk in your grace. I want to accept it. And today, that's what we're saying. Let us pray. Father God, today we receive your love. Lord, you are so gracious. You're so kind. You're so merciful. Thank you for the teaching of your word today. Thank you for helping us to understand that our reward is in the process. It may hurt right now. We may not understand it right now, but you're doing a new work. A new thing in us. And Father, we thank you for it. Now, God, we pray that you'll bless us as we participate now in these emblems. We thank you and we bless you. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, amen.